And now as we turn to the Word, if you don't mind turning with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Lord, thank you so much for your word. We ask that you open it up to us. Lord, let your word speak to us, and Lord, let us cast away any agenda, cast away any preconceptions. Speak through us through your word, as we sang earlier, in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the service today, we've been thinking about thanking and trusting God. And those two things actually belong together, because we thank God when we're looking backwards, when we're reflecting, we're remembering prayers that have been answered, we're remembering difficult times that God has brought us through, we're remembering moments when we don't know what was going to happen, but somehow God provided. We're remembering His goodness, His mercy, His patience and His faithfulness. But trusting God asks us to do something slightly different. Asks us to look forward. Thanksgiving says, "Lord, I can see what you have done." And trust says, "Lord, I don't know what you're going to do, but I do know who you are." And that's much harder. It's easy to thank God when you're standing on the other side of something, isn't it? But when you're still standing in the middle of it, what happens then? What about a prayer that hasn't been answered? When we don't know what's going to happen? When God's direction doesn't make sense? Or what about when we've prayed and we're still waiting? Or when the future looks so uncertain, can we still trust Him then? Now we're looking at two familiar verses that most of us are familiar with or come across at some point in our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Some of us probably know these verses by heart. I do. But sometimes that's the danger with these verses, that we know them very well and we can repeat them without stopping to think about what it's actually asking us to do. Because in these verses there is this enormous challenge. Who are you really trusting with your life? Trust in the Lord. Let's first start with those four words. Notice it didn't simply just say trust. It tells us who to trust. Trust in the Lord. That's important. Because sometimes people talk about faith as though faith itself is what matters. Just have faith, just believe, everything will work out. But Christian faith isn't simply positive thinking. Our confidence isn't just everything will happen exactly how I want it to happen. Our confidence is, whatever happens, God remains God. And there's a big difference. Our trust has an object. We trust the Lord. And therefore, the question becomes, what do we know about God, about the God that we're asking to trust? This is where thanksgiving comes in, and that's why it's so important. Because when I remember what God has done for me, I remember who He is. Psalm 100 tells us, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." That means the God who was faithful yesterday hasn't suddenly changed today, and He definitely won't change tomorrow. So we're going away on holiday tomorrow, and I'm sure some of you remember when you were on holiday when you were younger. You remember those famous words? Where are we going? Or are we there yet? You know, we might not know the destination or know the road, and you might not understand why your parents have turned left or right, but you're not the one driving. You're trusting the person who is. Now, that's not the best illustration I can come up with, because family can get lost, but God doesn't. And that's the difference. Trust doesn't mean I know the road. Trust means I know the one leading me. And the Proverbs goes further. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where it becomes a bit uncomfortable. Because if we're honest, many of us, including myself, trust God selectively. If we give certain areas of our lives while holding on tightly to others, it might sound like this: Lord, I trust you in my family, but not my finances. Or Lord, I trust you in my finances, but not my future. I trust you in my future, but not this relationship. I trust you wholeheartedly on Sunday, but Monday to Saturday belongs to me. And remember, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody here, because I've done the exact same thing. And sometimes our prayer is basically, Lord, I trust you as long as you do what I think you should do. But that's not really trust. Proverbs says all of your heart. Not 50%, not 75%, not even 99%. The challenge is, what is the 1% I'm still holding on to? That 1% often is the thing that we're worrying about after we've given it to God. It's the area where we feel, Lord, I trust you, but just in case, let me keep a little bit control of this bit. So perhaps trusting God with all our heart begins with recognizing that area. Instead of holding it with a tight fist, open up our hands and saying, Lord, this belongs to you as well. Now we arrive at what I think is the heart of these verses. Lean not on your own understanding. Notice the Bible doesn't say, don't use your understanding, because God has given us minds. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to learn. We're supposed to seek wisdom. We're supposed to plan. The problem isn't having understanding. The problem is leaning on it. There's a difference. When I lean against this chair, I'm putting my weight on it. I'm trusting it will hold me. If it suddenly moves, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. So whatever I lean upon should be strong enough to carry my weight. And Proverbs says, don't put the full weight of your life upon your own understanding. Because why? Because our understanding is limited. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Neither do any of you. I don't know every consequence of my decision. I don't know what's happening in another person's heart. I don't know what God may be protecting me from. I don't know what God may be preparing me for. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. And sometimes we forget that. I do remember, in some times when I was younger and I had to go and get some injections. Now, this injection is very essential for me, but all I saw was a needle and pain. This is going to hurt me. And technically, for a moment, I will be true. But my understanding was incomplete. I saw the needle and saw pain. With the needle, the doctor saw a purpose. And in the corner holding me, so I don't scream and run away, was an understanding mother who knew it was necessary. But don't misunderstand the illustration. I'm not saying every painful thing that happens in our life is something God has directly caused. The Bible doesn't teach us to call evil good. But it does teach us something incredibly comforting. God sees what we cannot see. Isaiah 55 verses 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So, sometimes we ask God why. There is nothing wrong with asking why. The Psalms are full of people asking God questions. Jesus himself cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Trust doesn't mean pretending to understand. Sometimes genuine faith sounds like, Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't like this. I wouldn't have chosen this, but I still choose to trust you. So what's that lead us to? That personal question. What am I leaning on? Because all of us are leaning on something. Maybe we're leaning on money. If I've got enough savings, I'll be okay. Maybe we're leaning on our health. As long as I'm healthy, I'll be okay. Maybe it's another person. As long as they're here, I'll be okay. Maybe it's our career, our intelligence, our experience, our family, also our plans. None of these are necessarily bad, but none of them are designed to carry the full weight of our lives. Money can disappear, health can change, people can disappoint us, plans can fail, jobs can disappear, circumstances can change overnight. But Scripture repeatedly tells us God does not change. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why our confidence and our trust ultimately rests in him. Now we come to verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him. Here's that little word again. All. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and now in all your ways, submit to him. And now trust becomes practical. Because biblical trust isn't something that we just say. Eventually, trust becomes obedience, and it's easy to sing, I surrender all, but it's harder when God puts his finger on something that we're reluctant to surrender. Our money, our relationships, our ambitions, our grudges, our time, our future. Sometimes we really don't ask God, what do you want me to do? Sometimes, like me, we make a decision and then we pray, Lord, please bless what I've decided to do. There's a difference. One says, God, come with me. The other says, God, where are you leading me to? I'll follow. That's submission. And that trust that we have eventually has feet. Suppose I say to you, I trust this chair. Wonderful. But I'm standing next to it. I'm not sitting on the chair. Does that mean I really trust it? Until I sit on the chair, until I put my full weight on it, I'm now testing my trust in the chair. And that eventually is what we have when we say, I believe God can, therefore I will. That's where faith becomes obedience. Abraham trusted God and went. Noah trusted God and built. Moses trusted God and returned to Egypt. Peter trusted God and stepped out of the boat. And ultimately, Jesus himself demonstrated that perfect trust and obedience to his Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, yet not as I will, but as you will. That's surrender. That's submission. That's trust. And nowhere do we see trust or more obedient perfectly demonstrated than in Jesus Christ. And when we do all these things, what happens? There is a promise that comes with it. He will make your path straight. I've come from a Pentecostal background, and I've seen this being used in different ways, which is why when I revisited this scripture, I understand that because a straight path, sorry, I understand that we have to be careful with this, because a straight path does not necessarily mean an easy path. God never promised, trust me, and nothing painful will happen. If that were true, we would have a problem explaining most of the Bible. Joseph trusted God, and his path include slavery and prison. David trusted God, but his path included caves and enemies. Paul trusted God. His path included beatings, imprisonment, and shipwreck. Jesus perfectly obeyed his Father, and his path led to the cross. So straight doesn't mean painless. Straight doesn't mean comfortable. Straight doesn't mean understandable. It means we can trust God to direct us along the way he wants us to go. And sometimes the road only makes sense when we look backwards, when we reflect and see what God has brought us through. And that's something beautiful for most of us here, that who have walked with God for many years, and is something that a 10-year-old might look back over, sorry, a 10-year-old might be able to look back over 10 years to come. Someone who is 80, 85 or younger, you've seen the government change, you've seen fashions change, you've seen technology change, you've seen people come and go, you've experienced joys you've never expected, you've probably experienced loss you've never imagined. And there are moments when you've wondered, Lord, how am I going to get through this? And yet, you're here. That doesn't mean everything worked out exactly how you wanted it to. It means God's faithfulness has carried you through this. Things your younger self could never imagine. So perhaps the greatest gift of an older Christian can give to the younger ones, simply to say, I've lived long enough to discover that God can be trusted. And one of the greatest things that a young Christian can also learn is, I don't need to wait until I'm older to begin trusting God. Sometimes God removes the things that makes us feel secure so that we can discover where our security really lies. Sometimes God's way doesn't make sense from where we're standing. And that's when Proverbs 3 stops being a nice verse on a greetings card and becomes something that we can actually live. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not onto your own understanding. And ultimately, Christianity itself stands upon something that looked like defeat, the cross. Imagine for a moment, just standing there on Good Friday. Jesus had been crucified. Sorry, he had been arrested, beaten, mocked, and crucified. His followers scattered everywhere, their Messiah dying. If you could see only Friday, you might ask, where is God in all of this? How can anything possibly good come from any of this happening? Human understanding looks at the cross and sees defeat. But God was accomplishing salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The cross reminds us God can be working even when we cannot understand what he's doing. Friday looked like defeat. Sunday revealed victory. And we're sometimes one trying to understand God's plan while we're still standing on Friday. We haven't reached Sunday yet. Trust what takes us to Sunday. So I want to finish with a rather simple question. What are you struggling to trust God with today? What does that look like for you? Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's a decision, a relationship. Maybe that's something that you've been praying about for years or maybe something has happened to you and you genuinely cannot understand why God has allowed it. I'm not going to stand there and give you a simple answer to that question, because everyone knows their own situations. But we don't know the answer. Sometimes I don't know, sometimes we don't know. But Christian faith doesn't require us to pretend that we do. Instead, Christian invites us to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you. And there's a connection between thanksgiving and trust. I can look backwards and say, God has been faithful. I can look around me and say, God is faithful. And therefore, I can look forward to tomorrow and say, God will be faithful. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some years ago, I preached in the evening service on thanking and trusting God at the evening service. And I came across Proverbs. I didn't really use Proverbs for it, but at the time I said something along the lines of, this is going to be something that requires refining and studying and for another message in the future. Well, apparently today is that day. And perhaps I understand these verses slightly different now, because trusting God isn't having confidence that everything will happen the way I want. Trusting God isn't pretending difficult things aren't difficult. Trusting God isn't switching off our brains. Trusting God is being able to say, Lord, I don't know the whole path. I don't understand everything you're doing. I cannot see tomorrow, but I know who you are, and I know what you've done. I know what you have revealed about yourself through Jesus Christ. And because I know you, I will trust you. So perhaps our prayer today should be very simple. Lord, where I understand you, help me to trust you. Lord, where I don't understand you, help me to trust you. Lord, where your answer is yes, help me to trust you. Where your answer is no, help me to trust you. And where your answer seems to be wait, help me to trust you. Because trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. And in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and for all the ways you've provided and protected and guided us. As we look back, we have many reasons to say thank you. And as we look forward, help us to trust you. When we cannot see the next step or understand what you're doing, remind us that we don't need to know everything. We just need to know the one who does. Teach us to trust you with all our hearts and give us courage to follow your lead. We may not understand the road, but we trust the one who leads us. In Jesus' name, amen.